Wednesday, July 20th, 2016. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Hey, I want to thank you for tuning into the Daily Dose. You know, we do things a little bit differently here at the Daily Dose. Try to bring you a dose of common sense with our sports takes. And we don't want to just give you the same generic stuff that you get everywhere else. I know that you get a ton of other sports information. I know there's a million other sports shows you can be tuning into. But we try to give you something a little bit different. We try to give you maybe some sarcasm, try to give you some actual insight into what people are actually doing, not what the sports media is telling you that they're doing. And I would like to thank you for tuning in. Now, if you would like to recommend the show to someone, and I hope that you would, I know that a number of you have, and I appreciate that so much, just let them know, if you've got that family member or friend or coworker, whoever it might be, that they can find The Daily Dose on iTunes, they can go to Stitcher, they can go to Google Play, they can go to somewhere like Podcast Republic, if they prefer, you know, Android or something over Apple. Of course, they can go over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com. We always put up a new article every single week, and you could head over there and check that out, as well as a link to the podcast. Or you could head over to rogueintel.com and listen to it directly there. And while you're over at Rogue, be sure you check out a couple of the other podcasts that are over there. You know, Duff over there is doing a great job finding other podcasts. Number of different things you can find over at the Rogue Intel Podcast Network that I'm sure you enjoy listening to. Now, this week on the show, I've got something just a little bit different for you. Got something a little bit different. Something, you know, I told you to get you through this dry time of year. I could do a show. I could come on here. We could just do a show about baseball and maybe some golf and a couple of free agent signings that have happened here and there. But there just isn't that much to talk about. And I don't want to bore you to death. And let's be honest, I don't want to bore myself to death. So this week on the show, we break out what used to be the old Daily Dose Monday mailbag. You know, if you listened to the Daily Dose back in the day, when it was on the radio, you would hear us on Mondays. We would break out the Monday mailbag, bring you some of the best emails that we got, some of the best questions. Maybe somebody was asking for advice, whatever it might be. Now, you know, if I get a good email, if I get a good question, maybe I get someone asking me something, or maybe someone comments on something, I'll try to bring it on and read it right away. But if I have a decent one, I'll save it and kind of hold on to it for a little bit. And then we will put them together and we'll read these, like I said, during these dry months when we don't have really a whole lot else to talk about. And I will bring you some of the best of you to you. So today on the show, I will be bringing you the best emails, tweets, Facebook messages, texts, whatever it is that I've received lately. You know, some are sports related. I'll be honest, some of them aren't. You never know which way my Dose listeners are going to go. They're always entertaining, always intelligent. I do have great listeners, and that's the best part of doing this show. But we do have a number of emails to get to, so let's jump into some of the best emails that we have received recently. First one up, let's see. Clint, I love Von Miller, but did the Broncos just destroy their salary cap by signing him to that huge deal that comes from Scott in Denver? And I appreciate you sending that. Hey, do you remember when quarterback Brock Osweiler left for Houston because he didn't appreciate being benched after, you know, not really doing anything? Like, I know everyone got caught up in the emotion of all that. Brock Osweiler came in. He won a few games. Granted, he went like 14 for 130 on third downs. But, you know, when he left, there was this huge outcry from the Mile High City. Like, you might not live here, so you might not know. But everybody here was like freaking out. They're like, oh, Peyton's retiring. Brock's leaving. I don't know what we're going to do. Like, everyone just started losing their mind. There was weeping. There was wailing. There was gnashing of teeth. This was why they let him walk, so that you could sign players like Von Miller to big deals. See, if you keep Brock Osweiler, you probably can't afford to give Von this big paycheck. If you let Brock leave, then you can re-sign Von to a six-year, $114 million deal with around $70 million in guaranteed money. Here's the thing that some people don't realize, though, because they see that big number. You see $114 million. Oh, the Broncos are tapped out. They don't have any money left. That's actually not exactly the case. See, the Broncos still have nearly $8 million, and they might use that to try to extend someone like Emmanuel Sanders. This is the new structure in the NFL. If you're not paying huge money to a quarterback, then you can afford to surround him with a ton of talent. Then you just kind of hope he doesn't, you know, screw it up. But with the retirement of Peyton Manning, and the cheap contract they have at quarterback. So right now they either have Mark Sanchez, pretty cheap, Trevor Siemian, really cheap, Paxton Lynch, really cheap. The Broncos can now do what the Seattle Seahawks have been doing. Remember when they were paying Russell Wilson nothing, and then they beefed up their defense, they had a good offensive line, they had good running backs, they had decent wide receivers around him, and all the surrounding talent around him was who they were paying. They weren't paying anything to Russell Wilson. That's what the Denver Broncos have done now. And it worked for Seattle. They went to the Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl, a contender this past year, almost got to another Super Bowl. I mean, with the lack of production that the Broncos were getting from their quarterback position last year anyway, kind of proved it can work here in Denver too. I mean, I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say, hey, just surround Mark Sanchez or whoever ends up being the starter with a ton of talent you can afford, and then take your chances. Hopefully he doesn't crash the car. But no, the Broncos didn't destroy their salary cap by signing Vaughn to that huge deal. Because they don't forget, they lost that huge deal of Peyton Manning's. That dropped off. So they had some money that they could spend. Here's the bottom line, though, with the whole Von Miller situation. The Denver Broncos had to sign Von Miller to a big deal. Had to happen. For one, he had said, hey, I'm holding out for a big deal. I don't know how much that dollar amount is, but I'm holding out for a big deal. But here's the thing. If you are running a team and you have a guy like Von Miller come out, all Von has done, he got hurt the 1 year, all Von has done is produce. He was the third fastest guy to 50 sacks. He averages 15 sacks a year. He just dominated the postseason. He dominated the Super Bowl. He was the MVP of the Super Bowl. If you don't pay him, who do you pay? Like, what guy comes along that you say, well, you know, we're going to pay Von, but I just don't know if he's done enough. You had to sign Von Miller to a big deal just for the rest of your team to look at him and say, hey, if I produce, I get paid. I'm going to get paid. If they don't pay Von, I've got news for you. There's a number of veterans on that team that look around going, what do you have to do to get paid? If Von didn't just get paid, like Von did everything. If he didn't get paid, then who does? So Denver had to give him that huge deal, and no, they didn't destroy their salary cap. Is it the best situation in the world? No, obviously you'd love to have a some spare extra money, but they still got around $8 million. Now we'll see what they do with that money, but no, that's not a horrible deal for the Denver Broncos. That was a deal that had to get done. Next email up. Here's an email. Daily Dose, great show. Who is going to be the bust of the draft this year? And that is from Eve in Chicago. Eve, thank you for sending that. But there's only one problem. You didn't tell me, Daily Dose, great show, who's going to be the bust of the draft. You didn't tell me what draft. I don't know. I don't know what draft. I don't know if you're talking NFL draft, NBA draft, NHL, Major League Baseball today. I'll do my best. I'll see if I can answer all those just in case, because I don't know which way you're going. You're probably going Chicago. It doesn't really say. Maybe the Bulls? Maybe the Bears? I don't know who you're... Maybe the Blackhawks? I don't know who you're asking about. Okay, NFL. I'll be honest. I am not a big fan of Rams top pick Jared Goff out of Cal. If this wasn't such a weak draft class, I don't think Goff, I don't think Carson Wentz, and I don't think Paxton Lynch are drafted in the first round. But the problem is that teams start getting desperate for a quarterback, and they start to reach, and they start to talk themselves into it. They start to sit there and say, okay, well, actually, he's a lot better. Well, you know what? When we ran him out there and we were having these drills, he really looked good. Yeah, who cares if they impress in drills? I want to know what they did during the season. I want to know what they did against top competition. I want to know what they did in big games. That's the determining factor to me. And Jared Goff, he was okay. Now, there were the reports coming out about Jared Goff and that he had small hands. That can be a concern. That can be an issue because in the NFL, when you take the snap, you don't always have time to adjust the ball to get it to the grip that you want it and then throw it. You've got to get rid of it really quick. So that can be an issue. I don't worry as much about that as I do the fact that he never seemed to find ways to win. Like when he was at Cal, his best season was 8-5. And do you realize in his career, Jared Goff never beat a ranked team? Here's the problem. Now he's with the Rams. He gets to face the Seahawks and the Cardinals defense not once, but twice a year. Now, playing in Los Angeles is going to have its own unique set of expectations because we know LA is kind of a different deal. It's a new franchise. It's a whatever that whole situation and all that comes with just playing in LA. because he's going to have a little bit of time with it being a team that's always around 8-8, 9-7, and they just moved to LA, and there'll be a little bit of, you know, tempered expectations. So he'll have a little bit of time to develop. But can you tell me who his backup quarterback is? Like, he's the starter, I guess. He doesn't have anybody really mentoring him. He doesn't have anybody really showing him the ropes and teaching him anything. And quick, name a Los Angeles Rams wide receiver. Can you come up with one? Like, Tavon Austin, is he there? Is Torrey Holt still? Is Isaac Bruce still there? Billy Waddy? Is Billy Waddy still with the Rams? I don't know. I couldn't name a wide receiver. That would be a big concern for me. So Jared Goff in the NFL, I think he has a chance to be a bust, a little bit of a bust. I didn't like that pick. In the NBA, NBA draft, I would worry a little bit about the Phoenix Suns taking, is it Dragon Bender, whatever his name is, with the fourth overall pick, the kid out of Croatia. There's a couple issues that I have with taking Bender there. One, that's really high for this kid. You know, he's only 18 years old, and that's not necessarily a bad thing to take the 18-year-old kid, but he isn't going to be ready to play with the big boys for like another 3-4 seasons. And we have to hope that by then, his confidence isn't completely crushed. We have seen guys come into the league, and they play their first couple seasons, and then, like, you already see them, like, he's destroyed. He has no confidence. He can't shoot it. He can't put it on the floor. He has no confidence because he's been beaten up by the big guys. You hope that's not the case. Here's the thing that worries me just a little bit more. He doesn't have much experience. Bender played like some rec league high school players in Croatia, and then he went over and played for like an Israeli premier team for the past few seasons, and he looked solid at times doing that. But here's the thing about a lot of foreign leagues that sometimes people in the United States don't know. They don't play as much as we do here. Like, dude played like 35 games over there and like played 400 minutes the whole time. That was his season. Now, a kid playing college over here, like Brandon Ingram at Duke, he played like 1,200 minutes at Duke. And that's not a ton compared to the NBA, what they do, playing 82 games. But that's like 15 minutes a night over 82 games. I mean, 15 minutes a night over 82 games is around 1,200 minutes. That's about what Ingram did. A guy playing 400, you're not even getting in the game. So we don't know how his body's going to hold up. He's only 18. We don't know how he's going to hold up against playing top competition every night. And let's be real clear. Bender was selected that high, mostly because teams have fallen in love with the idea of a stretch four like Kristaps Porzingis. But we've seen a million guys come over here. And so far, there's only been one Porzingis. So the odds of there being another one in the very next season, probably not. I don't think I'm going to hold my breath thinking he's going to be the next Porzingis. Isn't it odd that we're kind of comparing guys to Porzingis? Like, who'd have thought that? But yeah, I don't like that pick a whole lot. I think he has a chance for some bust potential. In the NHL, maybe you're asking about the Blackhawks. Who'll be the biggest bust of the draft? Probably some white guy, like a big white guy. I don't know. White guy? Yeah, I don't really know in the NHL. Major League Baseball, bust of that draft will probably be some high school kid that we don't know. I don't have any idea who it'll be. I'll tell you this. In my fantasy football draft, I'll tell you who my bust of the year was. I somehow lucked into getting both Tony Romo and Dez Bryant. So if you're talking fantasy football, I can tell you who the bust was this past year. My football team was horrible because I got Tony Romo and Dez Bryant. Not good. Not good in the fantasy world. Let's see. Daily Dose. Why don't you ever swear on the show? You know you can, right? Yeah, I've got this from a number of people. In fact, if I read all the people that asked me if, you know, why I don't cuss in the show, like I have a lot of people there. You never swear on the show. How come you never swear on the show? Oh, you know, you should start cussing on the show. You never do. But, you know, you could really make a point a lot stronger if you swear on the show. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. Straight up front. I am capable of saying bad words. Here, people that probably live around me would agree. Here's the thing, though. You know, we had a rule when I was coaching, back coaching days. We didn't swear at our kids. We just didn't do that. When I was doing the radio show, when I was doing the Daily Dose there, we got fined if we did it. if you said something on the air, you got like, it wasn't much, but you got a fine. And so I was like, I'm not paying that fine. So I have learned to control my words. What I do find interesting, and this is the one thing that I'll throw out there, because one of the guys, I had a friend of mine that does his own podcast. He asked me, how come I never swear on the show? And, we're out having drinks or whatever. He's like, dude, you could totally swear on the show. And I go, yeah, I don't know. I just never really have. And he's like, oh, you should start. Here's the weird thing to me about telling me that. Like, he swears on his podcast. I've never told him to stop, but he tells me to start. Like, that's a little bit, I find it a little bit odd and, mildly entertaining. I'll make this promise. If I ever decide to start swearing, you will be the first ones to know. All right. Next question. Clint, another one that we just got too many of that it wasn't from one specific person. I got a number of these. Clint, why didn't you mention the tragedy in Orlando, in Baton Rouge, in France, in Colorado Springs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? It seems like every single week I get one or two of those. We have a tragedy in the world and someone will say, how come you didn't talk about the tragedy in, here? How come you didn't talk about the tragedy there? Look, I completely understand the sentiment. And our thoughts are with the families involved. And we don't get real serious on the Daily Dose too often. But my thoughts and prayers are with the families and all those people that are involved with these horrific, horrific things. Look, no one hates bad things like I hate bad things. Okay? Know that in the back of your mind. Like murder, totally against murder. Genocide, completely, completely opposed to genocide. Sacrificing children. Like a lot of other people, they won't take the strong stance that the Daily Dose will take. But I'll tell you what, I'm not afraid to say I'm completely opposed to sacrificing children. But here's the thing. This is a sports show. So we talk sports. Hopefully, we give you a little bit of a break from some of those realities in life. Hopefully, we give you a little bit of distance from some of the horrible things that do go on in life. Hopefully, as a number of people have said to me, you make me laugh every week. That's why we do it. I didn't get in the business to report news. I didn't get in the business to discuss politics and all those different things. If it relates to sports, we might discuss that angle on the show. If not, we will probably leave a lot of those stories to the experts. And when I say experts, of course, I mean TMZ. Clint, I know you aren't a big sports movie fan, but what are your favorite movies that aren't sports related? And that comes to us from Jason in Santa Monica. Okay, I'm going to be completely honest with you on this. I might be the worst person on the planet to ask about regular movies. I have the attention span of like an NBA player at a strip club. I like comedies. I like maybe like an action movie that kind of keeps you on the edge of your seat. I don't do a lot of the mindless violence, but like a decent plot action movie. I really like Deadpool. Deadpool came out recently. I thought they did a really good job with that. I thought it was entertaining. It was kind of different. That was kind of, the movie that I keep watching right now, and I've seen it over and over again, but every time it's on, I think HBO or Showtime or something has it right now. I keep watching Mad Max Fury Road, and yes, it's mindless violence, and it's just, but I keep watching it. Like I can't, if I turn it and it's on, I'm just going to sit there and watch a few minutes of it, but I'm the worst person. Like I don't have the attention span to watch a lot of movies. I just don't. Give me like an old Eddie Murphy comedy back when he used to be funny, like Coming to America or Harlem Nights.
Sexual chocolate. They play so fine, don't you agree? I believe the children are our future. Thank you. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside.
See, something like that I can listen to or watch or whatever all day. I'm not a movie person. I'm just a really, really bad movie person. I don't have the patience to sit there. I'm just preoccupied and doing something else. And either I'm writing or I'm playing a video game. I'm doing something else. I'm messing around with my phone. I'm not watching. I'm the worst person to ask about movies. So that's the best I can give you is some of those movies. Next up, Daily Dose. More like daily. Well, that's not necessary to use that kind of language, sir. He called me a bad word. Even when LeBron won the championship, you still had to make fun of him and talk about his Instagram post instead. But you look ridiculous now. He's a winner and you're a hater. You are just biter. Biter? You are just, I'm assuming he meant bitter. You are just bitter because he's better than your beloved Michael Jordan. That comes to us via Jeff in Kansas City. Okay. First off, we'll put the punctuation and you know, spelling thing aside for a minute. First off, Jeff, I'm going to assume that you are probably under 30 years of age. You might even be under 20 years of age, but you're definitely under 30 because you clearly never saw Mike or Magic or Bird or Kareem play other than maybe if you searched it and watched a YouTube clip or two. You know how LeBron finally took over in these last few games against Golden State? You know how there were certain moments in that series, whether it was the big block he had against Iguodala, or whether it was him getting the ball and instead of settling for that long outside shot where he takes a couple dribbles, waits till the shot clock goes down, and then he shoots a fadeaway at the top of the key that he misses, he finally was like, hey, give me the ball. I'm going to the rack and I dare you to stop me. You know how he was playing like that against Golden State? That's how these guys played all the time. And the fact that he finally did it once in the biggest of series doesn't undo all the times that he didn't do that. Now, at least, I'll give you this. I can at least put LeBron in the conversation with Bird and Magic. He hasn't won it as many times as Magic did. What did Magic have? Four? Five? I think five? So, but let's be real clear. You can't even put him in the conversation with Michael. He can't even go there. Because, see, 6-0 is always going to be better than 3-4. Always going to be better. Yes, he's been to the final seven times, but he's lost four of them. And while you might try to spin that LeBron took some less than talented Cavaliers teams to the finals, yes, he took that one team in 2007. That might still be, aside from this last year against Golden State, that might be the best thing LeBron's ever done. Getting that Cleveland team to the finals in 2007 because he didn't have much around him. And then last year, he had that banged up team, you know, a year ago, that the team in the finals, but I mean, they also got beaten six. But here's the thing you can't take away. You can't take away that loss he had to the Mavericks. The loss to the Mavericks, the loss that he had when, you know, he was with the Heat and they were loaded. What was that, 2011 maybe? You can't take that one away. He was on a loaded Heat team and he lost to Dallas in six games. And I would bet you can't name one other player on that Dallas team beside Dirk Nowitzki. Give me one other player off that team. Hey, LeBron is an amazing player. Very, very good player. Is he as good as maybe the media jams down our throat? No. Is he as good as you're trying to spin? No. He's an amazing player. He's never going to be Michael Jordan. Because you can't undo what's already been done. You can't sit there and say, okay, well, starting now, it counts. No, we already looked. We saw when he got beat by the Spurs. We saw when he got beat by the Mavericks. We saw those things. And you can't just wipe those out. And stop calling me biter, whatever you. You're just biter. Stop calling me a biter. There's no need for that. For one, that was private. And for two, your mom never complained. Hey, got a couple of ads I want to throw in here just real quick. Couple of things we have to do to pay the bills, but we will be right back with our 2016 email show. Do not go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Harry Potter, what are you doing listening to Rogue Intel? That podcast is for Slytherin.
Movies, anime, comics, video games, and pop culture. These are but mere playthings for the manliest beings in all of podcasting history, the powerful Nerdcast. Hosted by the gurus of geekdom, Corey and Christian, join them each week to discuss all things nerd culture, everything from Star Wars to Dragon Ball Z, and everything in between. Find the powerful Nerdcast on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network at rogueintel.com. What's up, guys? Be sure to check out Now That I'm Older on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network. Me and Kenny sit down and talk about how getting older sucks, but can be awesome at the exact same time. We also look at pop culture, review a few movies, share some personal stories, and just basically poke fun at the world around us. Be sure to check out Now That I'm Older on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network.
Dear podcast listener, We accept the fact that we have to sacrifice not only our Wednesdays, but our Fridays as well to entertain you. But we think you are crazy to make us do a promo telling you who we think we are. When you listen to our podcast, you think you know who we are, in the simplest terms, in the most convenient definitions. But what we found out is that each one of us is a dork.
I had the basket case, and I'm a princess.
And I'm a pothead.
Does that answer your question? Sincerely yours, The Prime Podcast. Find out more at theprimepod.com. Think of the tender
things that we were working on. Okay, let's get back to our 2016 email show. Next one up, Clint. If you aren't watching sports, what are you watching on TV? That comes to us from Rich in Vista. Rich, is that Vista, California? Is that Chula Vista? Is that Buena Vista? I'd like to put a tack in the map here at the Daily Dose Studio. So let me know exactly where that's at, because I don't know where that's at. I've told you before, I'm a huge fan of sports documentaries. I watch a lot of the ESPN 30 for 30s when they come out. You know, I'm starting to wonder a little bit, though, on those ESPN 30 for 30s. Are they starting to run out of ideas? Because did you see this one this last week about the 86 Mets? Like the 86 New York Mets? Doc and Daryl, I think it's called, about Doc Gooden, Daryl Strawberry, all the addictions that they were fighting, and I mean, they were somehow still going out and playing very well. I haven't watched it yet. I've seen a lot of the previews, and I've heard some people talk about it, but I don't know if I'm going to watch that. And I mean, what's next? I feel like we're going down a path here. Like, they started out, they were really good, they were really interesting, and they had some big names, some big stories. Now we're down to, like, the 86 Mets. I mean, we're going to have like a 30 for 30 on the defensive line of like the 81 Minnesota Vikings. We might have to come up with some new ideas for 30 for 30s. If you're out there and you're listening and you're saying, I think I have a better idea for a 30 for 30, a couple people out there that I'd need to single out to, Mike, John, Rob, Larry, any of the other listeners out there, you guys have a new assignment. Come up with some new 30 for 30s, because the 30 for 30s that they're putting out there, I don't know. I feel like there's more content. There's better stories out there that could be being told and aren't being told. So I watch a lot of those. I watch a lot of sports documentaries. You know, on the new shows, like new shows coming out, Archer is, of course, the best television show on TV right now. My kids love Bob's Burgers. I watch that with them a lot. You know, I was a big fan of like the Curb Your Enthusiasm stuff that was out. Just it seemed like people just talking. It didn't seem like it was scripted and all that. I like that. I can't believe I'm going to admit this. I do watch Game of Thrones. I have no idea what's going on half the time. Like, I watch it, but I don't really know, like, the names. Like, someone will say, oh, did you see so-and-so? And I'm like, oh, you mean the fat kid? I don't know. I don't know their names. I don't know what house they belong to or who their mother is. And I don't know all that stuff. But Game of Thrones is on, and I'm in front of the TV when it's on. I watch it, and it's usually not even live. It's usually the next day or something. You know a really good show I started to watch on Netflix, and I don't know if you've seen it. I started watching Peaky Blinders on Netflix, and that's a really, really good show. I enjoyed that. I do watch Veep. I think Julia Louis-Dreyfus is very talented, and I do think Veep, like when I watch it, it's funny, but it's also really disturbing because I have a feeling it's probably more truth than fiction. Like the way some of the, you know, country is run and some of those kind of things, it's disturbing. All the deals that are going on the side and how there's all this manipulation going on, getting certain deals done and getting certain bills passed and all that kind of thing. It's a little bit disturbing. I do watch Veep. That one's kind of funny. But again, if the TV's on, it's usually sports or something, you know, about sports. I'm an idiot that way, I'll admit. Next one up. Clint, love the show and the Daily Dose Top 5 every week. I listen to your show in my cubicle at work, and it always makes me laugh, but here's the problem. My job is super boring. If I'm not sitting at my desk staring at meaningless data on my computer, then I am stuck in some three-hour meeting with my team telling us how to stare at our meaningless data. Any suggestions for making the day go by quicker? This is from Will in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Will, Thanks for reaching out. You know, here's the thing about having a boring job, and I worked in corporate America for a number of years. You've got to spice up your job. Like, any job can be boring. I don't care what the job is. I don't care if you have the most exciting job. If you don't make it fun, it's going to be boring. And any job can be maybe not fun. I don't know, because sitting at a desk doing that kind of thing, you know, staring, like you said, at just this, you know, over and over this meaningless data or whatever. Yes, it's a little bit boring. I understand that. But you can, here's the thing, you've got to find ways to liven up your job. Because I worked there for a long time, and I'll be completely honest, I am not suited to that lifestyle. It does not suit me well at all. I go stir crazy, and I start having issues, and I start getting in trouble. But here's the thing, liven it up a little bit, you know, move some furniture around, hang up some signs. You know, there's a one good sign you can always hang up. If you hang up a sign over your printer that just says something like, this printer now features audible command response, simply speak your command near the keyboard. That is always good, at least to liven things up. But like if people are going up there and just saying, print 2 copies. Can you print all pending documents? And just watching them say things into the, that's always, you know, worth. Here's, I'll give you one other idea. I'll give you one other, you said you have to go into meetings, and I've been in those meetings. Like when I used to have to, we'd go have meetings about how often to have our meetings. And I swear, I wish I were joking. We would have meetings about how we were spending the time in our meetings and if we were spending the appropriate amount of time in our okay, it's getting a little redundant and it's becoming a waste of time. But here's the thing you have to do. Again, you've got to try to liven up your meeting. So what I did at a certain job that I had at one time is I created meeting bingo. Now, it's better if you put some stakes on meeting bingo. Like, it's better if there's a true prize for meeting bingo. Like, winner gets, first round, or winner gets, like, a free shot or whatever it might be. Like put something on it. But write down, and you need to get with a few of your team members and write down some of the phrases that constantly over and over get used in these stupid meetings. Phrases like, we need to collaborate. Phrases like, we just want to try to, you know, work together as a team. Phrases like, you know, all the stupid little silly nuanced phrases that you have within your team. Write a bunch of those down. And then, like, there's a number of websites. You can just go out and create a bingo board and put those phrases in there. Mix them up, make them different, and then pass them out. Now, you've got to be careful who you pass them out to. Because you pass them to the wrong person, and they hand it to the boss, and they're like, I don't know what this is, but I thought you should see it. You're going to get yourself in trouble. But if you, here's what ended up happening at the job that I was working. There were four of us maybe. We started playing meeting bingo with all these stupid little phrases that they would say. And in this meeting, where it's usually everyone's falling asleep, no one's paying attention, we're at the edge of our seat. Like, we got our marker ready. We're getting ready to mark off the next thing. We're like, oh, just say this. Just say the code. I dare you to say collaborate one more time. And sure enough, he would go, boom, bingo. And hey, you're getting free drinks that night. So liven up your job. I know it pays the bills. That's the bottom line. If it's paying the bills, it's kind of hard to walk away from it. I know we all wish we could be, have these amazing, fun jobs that are really, really cool. But sometimes they pay the bills. You got to do what you got to do. Let's move on. Clint, what do you think of the Kevin Durant move to Golden State, and how does that move affect the rest of the NBA? That is from Jason in Oklahoma. Jason, I have a few thoughts on Kevin Durant going to Golden State. Here's the biggest problem. There's a few problems that I have with it, and I understand it, but there's a few problems I have with it. First off, the balance of power in the NBA now lies in two teams, and that can't be good. Like, right now, if I said, name all the teams that could win the Super Bowl this year, we could probably come up with 6, 8, maybe 10, 12 teams. In Major League Baseball, same thing. In the NHL, probably the same thing. But in the NBA, there are maybe, if I really, really push, 3 teams? That might be pushing it. There's probably just 2 teams. It's probably Golden State and Cleveland again. I don't know if that's good for the league. Because here's the problem. Those other 30 teams or whatever it is, they play every night. If I'm a season ticket holder, what in the world am I going to the games for? Like, I already know who's going to win. Why am I going? There's no sense in me going and watching this stupid team. So it starts to hurt your ticket prices. That is the one way the NBA could eventually get themselves in trouble. Is if the rest of the league, ticket sales start to drop and everyone just says, hey, wait a second. I'm not going to these games anymore. I'm not paying for these games anymore. So that's the balance of power with just 2 teams is a bit of a problem. Look, I told you, I am not a huge fan of the move. I'm from an era where Magic tried to beat Bird and Michael had to go through the Pistons. Can you imagine Michael Jordan getting beat in the Eastern, you know, Conference Finals and then being like, hey, guys, I have an announcement. Next year, I will be joining the Detroit... What? What in the world? And I realize it's a different era. I understand. You know, Kevin Durant spent 9 years in Oklahoma City. It's his right to leave. I would have loved to see him stay and bring a championship to the Thunder. Do you know how huge that would have been if he brings a championship to Oklahoma? But I also know this. I know with all the pressure we put on these guys to win a ring, he looks at it and thinks he has to make this move. I mean, think about it. Charles Barkley, Dominique Wilkins, Karl Malone, Patrick Ewing, all great players, and we look at all of them and go, yeah, but, I mean, they never won a ring. Hey, KD wanted a ring. And he thinks the Warriors give him the best chance to get a ring, and he thinks the Warriors give him the best chance to market his name and get his name out there. Plus, I'll be honest, as a player, it's really, really fun to play with good players. To go out there and know that I'm going to get the pass where I want it, when I want it, in the time frame that I... Now, I've heard some talk that, well, how are they going to compete? I mean, is Golden State really going to be that good? Because there's only one basketball. But when you look at their players, Klay Thompson doesn't mind passing. I mean, puts up 16, 17 points a night. Steph Curry is sometimes, I think, as good of a passer as he is a shooter. He'll put up 16, 17 points a night. It's not like these guys have to dominate the ball like Russell Westbrook did. And Russell Westbrook did dominate the ball a lot of the time. So I think KD looks at it and says, man, these guys understand how to share the ball. They understand how to move the ball from one side of the floor to the other. That would be kind of appealing as a player. Now, as far as the rest of the NBA, this stuff, it's been going on for a long time. We've seen players move. We've seen, you know, LeBron goes to Miami and a lot of these players go to different teams or whatever. Let's be honest. If the owners wanted to stop it, they would make a hard salary cap like we have in the NFL. But the NBA has a soft cap. If you go over your salary cap, you just pay a luxury tax. But you can go over it. It's totally fine if you want to go over it. You just pay that luxury tax. So if the small market teams really, really want to stop this kind of movement going forward, then stand together at the next collective bargaining agreement and say, hey, we're going to have a hard cap and that's it. There's no more luxury tax. There's no more going over. If you go over, you get, you know, a pretty hefty suspension. You get a pretty hefty fine, whatever it might be, but you cannot go over the cap. If you really want to keep money spread throughout the league, then that's what you'll do. And by the way, bad news for Oklahoma, because I think Russell Westbrook is probably next. Either he walks after the season for nothing, or they try to trade him during the season and get something of value. You know, there's rumors out there maybe they would trade him to L.A. No, not you, Laker fan. Maybe they would trade him to the Clippers and try to bring Blake Griffin back to Oklahoma. I don't know. I don't like it necessarily, but I understand it. Next up, who will the Daily Dose be voting for this November? That comes from Doug in Washington, D.C. Well, of course it does, Doug. Ugh. I hate both candidates. I won't lie. I truly and honestly believe both candidates are hideous human beings. So it makes no difference who wins. We're all going to lose. I think they're just bad people. And I was trying to come up, have we ever had a set of candidates for the presidency like this bad? Like maybe Gore and W? I don't know who that would be. Do we have to go back to like Warren Harding or something? I don't know. But I don't remember just a such a bad, like there's no clear cut. Well, this is the candidate that you, both of these candidates are horrible people. And it's not even their politics. As much as you might disagree, I think they're both hideous, hideous human beings. I don't know if either one of them has a soul. Here's the only positive. The only thing that I'm sort of looking forward to about November, because I'm already sick of the phone calls. I'm already sick of the ads. I'm already sick of both candidates. I'm already sick of both sides, acting like their candidate really is something special. Here's the only positive. The only hope for relief I have is seeing the other side that's going to lose just lose their minds. That's the only thing that is remotely good about any of this, is whoever loses this election, the people backing, like they are going to lose their, they're going to be like, this is the worst president we've ever had in our lives. I mean, they're going to lose their minds. That's the only thing I'm looking forward to. So when I go into the voting booth this November, I will be writing in the name Jack Ryan, just like I do every other presidential election year. Clint, new to the show, and I heard you saying that you could dole out some advice. All right, I'm ready to give you some advice. I have a coworker that I hate. I like this right off the bat. He's the first to point out my mistakes. He has no problem throwing other employees underneath the bus. My job is okay other than this one idiot. Got any advice for dealing with a brown-nosing suck-up that looks to get me in trouble at every opportunity? Love the show. Started listening a few weeks ago, and now I look forward to it. That is from Andy in Oklahoma. Got a few people from Oklahoma. Andy, here's the deal. Here's the thing. Once again, going back to the whole corporate job. We all have a coworker who every single day when we go into the office, we hope he has quit his job. So everyone else in the office is going to be happy. And I'm going to be honest. If you can't think of a single person in your office like that, like you look around and you're like, no, I think everyone here is actually, I like everybody here. It's probably you. So you should quit your job. But basically, here's the deal. You've got three options. You got three options of what you can do with a coworker that just got to, and I've had that. We've all had that. We've all had that coworker that just, you know, gets on your nerves. First option, you can punch said coworker right in the face and get fired. I'm assuming you need your job, or you generally, it sounds like you generally like your job. You just have this one guy. So you probably don't want to punch him in the face and get fired. You can ignore him and you probably loathe yourself, loathe your job and, you know, that kind of thing. So you can ignore. Or once again, we go back to the other question that we had a few minutes ago from, who is that, from Will? We go back to that other question. You can try to, you know, kind of make the most of what you have. Here's the thing. Just look at it as trying to make every day of his life a little bit longer. Because he's working in the same job. Just see what you can do to maybe his day is just a little more annoying. Remember I said earlier you can move some furniture around? Move his whole desk down the hall. You know, you could hang up some inappropriate art in his cubicle. If you want to, you could invest like a little money, change all his business cards to say like professional cat trainer. You know, something like that. But be creative is what I'm saying. And if you do, you're going to find that you end up enjoying your job more. Whether or not he quits or whether or not he, maybe it doesn't do anything. But you're going to at least be able to laugh to yourself and enjoy the day more. So, yeah, you got to be creative. You got to be creative. Don't just sit there and do the same old stuff. That stuff gets boring. That stuff gets lame. You're not going to want to do that. All right. Hopefully that helps. I'm telling you, get creative. I had one job, and I can't tell you what we did to this individual. I will say that the police ended up involved. Okay. Got maybe two, three more questions here. We got time for a thing. Next up. Clint, I know you like to make fun of the hometown Denver Nuggets, but what can they even do to get better? How can they get back to being a playoff team? This comes to us from Todd in Westminster, Colorado. Todd, thanks for writing in. First off, transferring to the Eastern Conference would probably be a great start for the Denver Nuggets. I'm a little bit impressed that there's actually still Denver Nuggets fans out there. Every once in a while we'll hear from one. Yeah, if they were over in the East, like they would be like a 7 or 8 or maybe a 9 seed, but they'd be right there, so maybe they could transfer to the East. Here's the problem. We talked a little bit about this just a minute ago. These small market teams just don't have much to offer. They you know, as far as a brand and as far as, hey, we're in LA, we're in New York, it's a little bit different. And so it can be difficult to get decent players in free agency to some of these small market teams. That means what you basically have to do is you have to have a really good coach. When they had George Karl, they had a coach that could bring guys in because they understood we might butt heads, but he'll probably end up winning. They have a decent coach right now. And you have to just draft extremely well because you're just not going to get very many free. If you can draft well and you can have a decent coach in place, then you get a little bit of a nucleus and some of the veterans start to look at them and say, well, they're kind of building something there that might be worth going to. You're not going to get the top. I mean, you're not getting the, you saw even this year, you're not getting even Dwayne Wade, and he's old and his knees don't work anymore. You can't pull those kind of guys, but you might be able to get a second or third tier type free agent player. And I mean, I think Mike Malone is a decent coach. They're slowly putting a few pieces together, at least. Like maybe this year they could win, I don't know, 20 games. Here's the one thing that I would encourage the Nuggets to do. I think they really need to accentuate that pot is legal here for NBA players. Like if you really like come to Denver and be a Nugget and, hey, we've got a dispensary on every corner, I would feel like that would probably be at least a little bit of a bargaining chip to get guys to come here. I don't know. Maybe that's it. All right, we probably better wind this up. Do we have one more? Let me see if I can find one more that I've got here. Last question here of our 2016 email show. Daily Dose, what did you think of the ESPY Awards last week? I thought the appearance by Melo, Wade, CP3, and LeBron was very cool and actually very brave. That is from Jay in Iowa City. I'll be honest. Jay? J-E-Y? I guess that's Jay. Jay in Iowa City, thank you for sending that in. I'll be honest, I'm over the ESPYs. Maybe that's just me. You know, it used to be that the ESPYs were this kind of like sports roast, and you had like Will Ferrell or Norm MacDonald. They would come out and they'd make fun of all these athletes that have never been made fun of in their lives. Now it's like this politically correct Barbara Walters special where every tear is like this tear-jerking hug fest. Don't get me wrong. I cried, but probably for different reasons than most people. You know, the politically correct sappy stuff is the exact reason that I started the Dosey Awards here on the Daily Dose, because I was just like, can we get back to like laughing and enjoying the night? And I understand, hey, there's some great causes. I'm not saying there's not. I'm just saying I want to be entertained, and my entertainment is usually laughing. So as far as the whole thing with Carmelo, if you didn't see it, at the beginning of the ESPYs, Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, Chris Paul, and LeBron James came out. You know, they dressed in pretty muted, you know, tuxes or whatever, and they talked about just the violence that's going on in this country and some of the things that, you know, they're very against it, and they want to, you know, people to kind of think about what they're doing and you know, that kind of thing. Enough is enough, I think, was kind of their slogan. Enough is enough. So I like the fact that they came together. I like the fact that, and from what I understand, this wasn't like ESPN going to them and saying, hey, why don't you guys do this? They went to ESPN and said, hey, we'd like to make this statement about violence, and we're seeing so much more and more violence all the time. And so good for them. Good for them. I mean, you know, it's cool. But you just knew there was a butt coming, right? Like, you knew I wasn't just going to. Can we slow down on it being brave? I mean, I like the fact anytime we see like a popular athlete or someone, you know, have a social conscience. Oh, okay. I like that. But is it brave? I mean, we weren't sure where these four stood on violence, and they sure showed us where they stand on violence. Apparently, from what I can tell, these guys are against violence. I'm going to let that sink in for a minute. Okay, who besides like the insane people committing these acts of violence isn't against violence? Like, virtually every single sane person is against violence. It's not like there are a lot of totally sane, functional people saying, well, you know, those guys have a pretty good point, but I got to say, there's really something to be said for a good old-fashioned terrorist attack. So I have a hard time placing them in the same category as like a John Carlos or a Tommy Smith or Muhammad Ali or even someone like Dean Smith, because those guys did stuff that had actual ramifications. Like I said, I like any time a popular athlete has a social conscience. Is it brave? Not really. I mean, honestly, brave would be saying something that had ramifications. Brave would be like saying, you know what I was thinking? We really need to get this whole purge thing going, because I'm noticing, you know, a lot of people probably need to be eliminated. We need to clean this planet up. Now that would take some bravery. Hey, that is going to do it for our summer email show. But if you do have a question, you have a comment, you need some advice, the show might be over, but you can still send it in. We would love to hear from you. Send it over to us at dailydosesports@gmail.com. That is dailydosesports, D-A-L-Y, dailydosesports@gmail.com. You can also send us a message on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Hey, I would like to thank everyone who sent us a question, who sent us a comment. It truly is appreciated. You know, next week, I've got something for you that you don't want to miss. You're going to have to trust me on this. I've got something a little bit different for you, but I think it's something that you're really going to like. Hey, if you get a chance, don't forget to go wherever it is that you download the podcast from. Leave us a quick 5-star rating and a review. Head over to rogueintel.com. You can go over there to our forum page and maybe make a comment or something there if you have something to say. I would like to thank all of you for listening. Have to say thanks to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week. Have a great week, everybody.